In Luke 11, verse 1, we find these words. It came to pass, as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So the many questions that his disciples ask of Jesus, isn't it fascinating that they would ask him to teach them to pray? As we look through the gospel accounts, we see that Jesus prayed. He prayed before big events like the selection of the apostles and other times. But he would often get up early, even pray all night. And so as he has finished praying in a certain place, no doubt the apostles are so touched by what they have heard him say, perhaps, that they want him to teach them to pray. Some of us have heard, and I know Pat and Ernie Smith have heard Charles Hodge speak in the past, and I believe it was Charles Hodge that says there are two words in Scripture that, if for no other reason, that we should pray. Two words. And those two words are Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. So, Lord, teach us to pray. In Luke's account, Jesus proceeds to share with them what we call the Lord's model prayer. Really not the Lord's prayer, but the Lord's model prayer, and teaching his disciples how to pray. Matthew's account has a little bit more before he gives the model prayer. In fact, I want to notice some principles of prayer that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. "When you pray," he says, "you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So don't pray to be seen by men. And the principle I like to attach to this passage, or I glean from this passage, is that of sincerity. Pray sincerely. Don't pray just to so others can hear you pray. Verse 6 is another passage about prayer. "But you," he says to his disciples, "when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Solitude is a principle we glean from that passage. As opposed to standing on the street corners praying to be heard by men, Jesus says, "Go into your room." King James, I believe, has the word "go into your closet." But the idea is solitude. Pray in a place where you realize it's just you and God. Pray in solitude. Next passage, verse 7. "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." The principle I glean from that is the word simplicity. Not vain repetitions, doesn't have to be many words, just simplicity. Speaking to God in a way that you, with reverence and with respect for him, but in a way that you would talk. You don't have to use flowery language. Again, these repetitive phrases, or it doesn't have to be eternal to be immortal. Simplicity. But what I wanted to see and delve into a little more closely is verse 8. "Therefore, do not be like them." Don't be like the hypocrites. "For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." Security is the principle that we can glean from those words. Pray with security. Pray knowing that God knows you so well. He knows what you're going to ask even before you ask it. But then the question comes, if that is the case, if he knows the things we have need of before we ask, the question then is, if God knows our needs even before we ask, then why pray? Then why pray? There is an idea that is held by many, an unfortunate idea, I believe, that have this mindset that, well, the will of God is going to be done no matter what I do or say or even pray. So there's really no use in praying. God's will is going to be done, so there's really no need to pray. Well, let's talk about this question and related questions. If God knows our needs even before we ask, why pray? Let's begin with some affirmations. Some things the Bible teaches us about God and prayer and how they fit together. Number one, God knows all things. God knows all things. We call this aspect of God's character His omniscience. Hebrews 4:13 speaks to it. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. It speaks to the fact that God is God and He knows all things that could be known. That would include the past, the present, and the future. That's the definition of omniscience, of all knowing. And that would mean then that God is never surprised, that He never learns anything new. You can see how that enters into the idea of our prayers to Him. He knows all things. Number two, God has promised to provide for His people. Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." These things have to do with the necessities of life. The context, you'll remember, in Matthew chapter 6 is about worry. Don't worry about the things that you're going to eat, the things that you're going to wear. God takes care of the birds of the air and the grass of the field. Will He not take much more care of you, O you of little faith? But instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the necessities of life, will be added to you. Philippians 4:19 is a companion passage. Paul assures us that God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We must understand that it says all your need, not all your greeds or all your wants, but all your needs. God is the great provider. Jehovah Jireh is one of His names. The Lord will provide. And so that's another affirmation we must make, that God has promised to provide for His people. Number three, this God who knows all things, who has promised to provide for His people, has invited us to bring our needs to Him. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Matthew 7:7-8. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. The God of heaven, the Lord of heaven and earth, our Heavenly Father invites us, urges us to let our requests be made known to Him. This is where prayer becomes intensely personal. Our Heavenly Father, who already knows our needs, wants us to make our needs known to Him in prayer. Number four, a fourth affirmation. We don't know often what we really need. We think we do, but we don't. Or to be more accurate, we know part of our needs, but not all of them. Our perspective is inevitably limited by our own experience, our desires, our personal knowledge. And there are many times I'm sure all of us have desired to pray and not knowing exactly for what to pray. That's where this promise of the work of the Spirit is such a blessing. Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit aids us in those times when we don't know exactly for what to pray. God understands our hearts. He knows our needs even before we ask. The Spirit is able to communicate those things in a way God knows. God knows what we really need, even when we don't. But then we must make this affirmation again. God knows what we need even before we ask Him. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now think about that for a moment and recognize that means we don't have to impress God. We don't have to use big words. We don't have to pray long prayers. We don't even have to repeat ourselves when we pray and worry about getting all the details just right. God knows. And He knows us and our needs better than we. So when we pray, we aren't informing God of anything. He knew our needs even before we bowed our heads. But we still haven't answered that question. If God knows everything before we pray, if He truly wants to provide for us anyway, why bother praying at all? Well, here are some answers to that question. Again, we must state we do not pray to inform God of anything. This may be obvious, it may be redundant, but it needs to be stated. When you pray, you aren't informing God of things He wouldn't otherwise know. The Bible tells us that He knows the number of stars in the sky. Psalm 147, verse 4, He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. And shared with Azalea City Church during their VBS recently, an article that I'd read, there's 76 trillion stars, they estimate. That's only as far as they can observe, and they're making a lot of estimations. It's amazing to consider the stars without number, but yet realize He knows them all by name. Not only the stars, but the number of hairs on your head. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God's knowledge is incredible. If He knows all that, surely we should understand He knows all about us. Listen to the psalmist. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it all together. And again, one principle that we can glean is that knowing that God knows our needs even before we ask should cause us to pray with security. It's a liberating truth. We don't have to yell, to shout, to try to make Him understand. We don't have to go into some long explanation. He understands. Number two, we pray to express our total dependence upon our Heavenly Father. That's one reason God wants us to pray. Already knows what we need before we ask, but yet by our asking, we're acknowledging that we depend upon God. It's not that God needs our prayers, but we need to pray because we need to acknowledge that we need God. Consider a little 4-year-old girl, a daughter, trying to put a puzzle together. And imagine her dad just sitting back and watching. And she's taking these puzzle pieces and she's having a lot of difficulty. And she's trying to press in pieces and they just won't go. And so finally she comes over and crawls into her daddy's lap and she says, Daddy, would you help me put my puzzle together? And he responds, I'll be glad to. And so together they finish putting the puzzle together. Why didn't the father just help his daughter earlier. Well, maybe he wanted to let her see what she could do. Perhaps he was waiting on her to ask for his help. But I can't help but think about how perhaps that's how God deals with us. That he wants to help, but he waits on us to ask him. And he wants us to come to the realization that we need his help and we can't do anything without him. In fact, every prayer is the cry of a child saying, "Help, Father, I can't do this by myself." And when we come to that realization, I believe that's a lesson that God has intended for us to learn all along. He wants to come to our aid. He wants to bless. But often he waits until we specifically ask him. A third answer would be, we pray because God is honored by our persistent faith. Yes, he knows our needs even before we ask, which means we don't have to repeat ourselves to get his attention. But yet, I don't believe God is offended when we recognize he doesn't answer all prayers immediately. Sometimes he says, wait. Sometimes we wait weeks, months, even years. Reminded of the Christian lady who asked her preacher, "How long should I pray for my husband to become a Christian?" And the answer is, until he becomes a Christian. You keep praying. You keep setting the example, yes, but you keep praying that his heart will be receptive to the gospel. We pray because God is honored by our persistent faith. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. I want to read a parable that Jesus gave. And notice the application that he makes. Luke chapter 18. And this is the parable that Jesus gives right after Jesus makes this statement. Verse 1. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So that's why he's telling this parable, to encourage his disciples, to encourage you and me to always continue to pray and not to give up, not to lose heart. And here's the parable, verse 2. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now the parable is such that here's a judge that really makes this judgment in her favor because she's kept coming to him, kept nagging him, we would say, and kept urging him, "Avenge me of my adversary." And so Jesus makes application, and please don't make the application that God is like this unjust judge that just gives a judgment because he's being nagged. But listen to what Jesus says. The Lord said, verse 6, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Jesus is not saying that God is like the unjust judge. But if an unjust judge can be swayed by the persistence of a widow, won't God's heart be moved by the persistent prayers of his people? It's an expression of our faith to continue to go to God for some deep request that we have, to continue to implore him for an answer. You see, prayer reminds us in the end that everything depends on God and not on us. So we pray because God is honored by our persistent faith. Another answer to if God knows our needs even before we ask, why pray? Is we pray because He is God and we are not. This, of course, is based on the understanding, the simple truth that God runs the universe and we don't. And we pray because He's in charge and we're not. And that would indicate to us if we fail to pray, we've forgotten who's God and who's not. A lack of prayer means we're still trying to run the show. It's a sign that we've decided we can handle things on our own. But we pray because God is God and we're not. If God knows our needs even before we ask, why pray? Here's another answer. John Tall has stated there's an easy answer to that question because He has commanded us to. We could cite many passages commanding us to pray. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Be vigilant in prayer, Colossians 4. Let your requests and supplication be made known to God, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And on we could go. Even here, He spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. God has commanded us to, and that's a reason to pray. That's the ultimate answer. Because God wouldn't command us to do something that wasn't important for us to do, and that it must be good for us. Prayer changes things. We see that phrase on bumper stickers, on little signs. Prayer changes things. That's why we pray. But one of the first things that prayer changes is us. We acknowledge our dependence upon God when we pray. But one more answer would be, if God knows everything in advance, even before we ask, why pray? God has ordained that our prayers are part of His plan for the universe. What if, like that little 4-year-old girl putting the puzzle together, and the dad observing and watching, willing to help, but he waits until she asks him? What if God operates that way? What if He waits on us to ask in many cases before He acts? James 4, verse 2, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. So our part is to pray fervently, sincerely, honestly, bringing our deepest concerns to the Lord. And God has promised to listen to our prayers, to graciously answer them in His own time, in His own way, according to His own will. But the God of heaven calls us, invites us, commands us, wants us, exhorts us to pray. Prayer is a special privilege of the child of God. Because as Jesus began the model prayer, He began it with the words, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. It's based on that relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. One of the greatest blessings that we have as His children. So yes, He knows our needs even before we ask, but He wants us to ask because He wants us to acknowledge our dependence upon Him. And perhaps He just waits to act in many cases until we ask. It may be that tonight you want to make those initial steps of faith to become a child of God, to really know this privilege of prayer. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ as a penitent believer, we hope and pray that you'll do that even tonight. If you need the prayers of the church for some struggle in your life, or if you need to come back home as one who's wandered away from the faith. That's the privilege of prayer, to pray with you and for you, to be reconciled once again to God. If you need to respond, please do so right now as we stand and sing.